May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's see if we were paying attention to Father Deacon Jason last week. Last Sunday was Septuagesima Sunday, and that alluded to a span of how many days before Easter? Very good. You were listening. Good. Well, I had some questions about this already this morning. So, this week is, and I didn't get to changing the hymn board sign. Look at that. This week is actually Sexagesima Sunday. And of course, that refers to how many days before Easter? Now, there's been 10 days between last Sunday and this Sunday, right? No. Of course, it doesn't work out that way. If you've had the chance to look at a calendar or do the math, you notice that it was actually more like 64 days last week and 57 days this week. But the point is the same. We are on the second pre-Lenten Sunday. And we're continuing this, our trek, our journey through this three-week period of preparation for the holy season of Lent. And during these days of pre-Lent, I hope that we can use this time to ready ourselves, to prepare. Not in the same way that we use Lent to prepare for Easter, mind you. There's a difference there. In Lent, we prepare spiritually for Easter. We use prayer, fasting, almsgiving to ready ourselves for the Paschal celebration. And during pre-Lent, we ready ourselves to undertake that discipline. We ready ourselves to take the journey. You might compare it, and I did this past Wednesday, for those of you who were here on Wednesday, I compared it to getting ready for a journey in a car, you know, if you're going to go take a long car ride somewhere. If Lent is the journey, then pre-Lent is the time that we get ready for the journey. We get our bags packed, right? Make sure that our route is planned. Make sure that our gas tank is full. You know, when you're going on a trip somewhere, as I said on Wednesday, you don't just get in the car and then say, where do you want to go? Do we have any gas? Did you bring any money for gas? Any food? What's going on? We wouldn't think of doing that. And yet it seems oftentimes we jump into Lent just totally unprepared. Well, that's what pre-Lent is here for, to help us get ready for the journey. So I hope that we are in some ways already starting to make our preparations for the season of Lent, that we're giving some thought to what it is that we're going to be reading, what changes we might be making. Are we going to be altering the way we eat? We're going to have the chance this week with Ed, this coming Wednesday, to talk about how it is that we might be able to make some changes in our eating that don't disrupt our schedule too much. What sorts of changes we might make in our prayer life. We also might want to give some thoughts to our contingency plans and to what we might call our emergency kit. You know, you never take a long trip by car without some sort of a toolbox or emergency kit, right? I hope you don't. But you see, we get a bit of a hint of that, a bit of a hint in that direction from St. Paul this week. Once again, writing in his second letter to the Corinthians, he gives a whole laundry list of the things that he had happened to him. Did you note that? Oh my gosh. Good Lord, danger all the time. Danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brethren, toil, hardship, labors, imprisonments, beatings, 39 lashes at the hands of the Jews, being beaten with rods, getting stoned, 3 times shipwrecked. What a journey. I would have turned back and gone home. Sounds awful. Oh my gosh. This fellow has gone through nearly everything for the sake of the gospel. And yet what? He remains faithful. He remains steadfast in proclaiming the faith of Jesus Christ. Even yet, through all of that, he remains an apostle of the church. And maybe, just maybe, it was because he had a good emergency kit, a good emergency toolkit with him on his journey. What is it that kept St. Paul steadfast in the faith even through all of that? Through that laundry list that Rick read. It's awful. What kept him steadfast throughout all of that? And furthermore, what on earth could this possibly be saying to us on this second Sunday before Lent? What lesson could we possibly take away from this letter to better inform our preparations for the Holy Fast that's coming up. Well, if there's one thing that we might be able to glean about the Christian life from this reading, it's probably something about bearing burdens, isn't it? I mean, that's something we'd rather just not deal with most of the time. I mean, I know I wouldn't, you know. But we know it's something that life is never without, right? And in life, we have some options about how we bear our burdens. I mean, we can whine about them. That's always an option. We can just sit around and whine. Maybe you've met people like that. I haven't met too many here, but you know, so that's one way of dealing with problems, just whining. We could trouble other people with them, you know, constantly trying to load them onto somebody else. We could let them eat us up. We can sometimes let burdens just eat us alive. Or, you take the example of the epistle today, possibly. We could possibly bear them up. And in bearing them, not just bearing them for the sake of showing what great, strong souls we are, but rather bearing them for the sake of Jesus Christ, who, of course, bore worse burdens before we did, and who knows our burdens, and who's with us to share our burdens. And this is, of course, how St. Paul manages to hold up under so many and such great trials, as we heard in the epistle today. I mean, eventually giving his life for the sake of the gospel when he's beheaded in Rome. It's the assurance of his doing this for the sake of Christ and with Christ that he's able to persevere. And it's this example that he gives to the church of Corinth. And not coincidentally, it's the example that he gives to us on this second Sunday before Lent. Now, it probably seems obvious that St. Paul might not have had the Lenten preparations of 21st century Anglicans in Rock Island in mind when he wrote this. Maybe he did. Just maybe. Believe it or not. He does, however, speak to all of us as Christians when he speaks of his burdens, when he speaks of his trials. And someone once said that the Christian faith does not take away our burdens, but rather that it changes their nature and it changes us as they become burdens of love. You see, we persevere out of the love that Christ commands, don't we? Our love for one another and our love for God and Jesus Christ. And that's the love that can actually change burdens. Rather than just being something to deal with, well, they can sometimes become something that we can offer up. If you've ever very purposely undertaken something for someone out of your love for that person, you probably know exactly what I mean. It's a sort of self-giving, a sort of self-sacrifice that's probably not too commonly seen or spoken of these days, perhaps. I mean, we see it in our troops serving overseas. Those who bear the burden of defending our liberty out of love for our country. We see it in the work of missionaries who bear the burdens of the mission field out of love for the kingdom of God. I think you see it in parents, actually, giving up of themselves for the ones they love, for their children. And indeed, we do all strive for that in whatever small or great way that God places before us. That's the call of the Christian, to do that very thing, to give up out of love. And it's in each burden that we face then that we have that choice. And St. Paul could have faced his burdens very differently. But he knew for the sake of the church at Corinth, he knew for the sake of the church at Rome, he knew for the sake of Christians everywhere for all ages to come, that he could bear this up, that he could continue making witness, that he could bear whatever came his way. And so that example, and so that inspiration is given to us here in the 21st century. And so in the second week, in this second week of preparation for our Lenten journey, we once again receive the words of St. Paul to kind of help us on our way. And just as last week he got us going on the way by urging us to run so that we might obtain a prize, well, so he urges us on this week, encouraging us to bear up the burdens that we shoulder and to face difficulties with grace. And this might just be the emergency kit. Remember I mentioned that a minute ago, the emergency kit, the emergency toolbox that we carry on our journey. Maybe really that's it. The emergency kit that encourages us to bear up the burdens we shoulder and be able to face difficulties with grace. That might just be the emergency kit that we carry on our journey. And it's an emergency kit that has only one tool in it, you see. Really. This is it right here. It's the cross of Christ. It's the assurance that it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is with us every step of the way as our mediator, as our advocate, as our defender, as our pillar of strength. It's our Lord who's with us every step of the way. Today, this week, throughout this pre-Lenten period, throughout Lent, throughout every day of our lives. He went through much worse for our sake. And he did so entirely out of his love for us and for his Father in heaven. And so on this second Sunday before Lent, let us consider that, and let us consider the cross as we prepare our discipline. Let us keep in mind that he is our refuge, that he is our sure defense, and it must be his name that we call upon in the time of trial, in the time of bearing any burden. For his is the only name given for salvation. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with the Father in the unity of the Holy and life-giving Spirit lives and reigns ever one God, world without end.